Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
September 12th was the deadline for a public comment to be submitted to the U.S. Department of Education regarding the rule change expanding the word sex in Title IX to include sexual orientation and gender identity. We're going to look at what Title IX is, why it was passed in 1972, and what impact this rule change would have on every public school in the U.S. if it is, in fact, implemented. My guest today is Mary McAllister. She's Senior Litigation Counsel for the Child and Parental Rights Campaign. Thanks, Mary, for being with us.
Well, thank you, Diane. It's always a pleasure to be on with you and try to inform your audience of what the latest is in this educational world.
Yeah, and there's a lot of craziness. Let's just start with a basic question. What is the Child and Parental Rights Campaign? It's pretty self-explanatory, but go into a little bit more detail.
Well, we are a nonprofit public interest law firm. We were founded in 2019. My law partner, Bernadette Broyles, and I founded it to deal very specifically with parental rights and children's rights in the context of the gender identity phenomenon that's going on, to protect parents' rights and also protect their rights to raise their children as they see fit and to not be intimidated by advocates and schools, et cetera, to engage in some of this ideology, like the gender identity ideology.
Yeah, all the quote-unquote experts who work to undermine parental rights. You know, there's no doubt that the left is becoming more aggressive in their attacks on our children. They're no longer operating under the radar screen as they were. I mean, even a decade ago, they were operating, even 5-6 years ago, they were operating more under the radar screen. Why do you think they've been emboldened, and why are they going after our children?
Dolly, that is a, you know, very complex question, but I think it's part of the overall, what we're seeing, the overall strategy of what used to be sort of progressive ideology, but it's even, you know, it's just even more extreme than that now, of really trying to make the state the ultimate arbiter of values, information, anything of importance in the culture should emanate from the state. And that is what, you know, the elite groups have been pushing for. And, you know, they've been successful in a lot of ways. In the legal realm, in the education realm, in the political realm. And so they are trying to basically create a society in which the state, you know, which we see in countries all, you know, like Venezuela, Cuba, things like that, that they want that kind of a structure here in the United States, in which the state is the parent.
Right. And the state, state tells kids what they want the kids to hear, and then they try to push the parents out of the way. I think even in China, I mean, they did that with the Cultural Revolution, and we see a cultural revolution taking place in this nation where the you know, the language is changing, and as you're saying, the state, the schools, the public education system is stepping in, or at least attempting to aggressively step in between the parent and the child to indoctrinate them, to create this quote-unquote utopia that they think what they're trying to create, which is anything but, for sure. All you have to do is look at Venezuela and China and Cuba to see it's not a utopia. But
absolutely.
That's why they're trying to rewrite history, too, why they're trying to rewrite U.S. history. So specifically, what is Title IX, and why did Congress feel the need to pass it back in 72?
Title IX is a federal statute that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in any kind of, in any educational facility that receives federal funding. And so what it was designed for, you know, back in the 50s, of course, in the 60s, we had the civil rights movement and racial discrimination, where they were trying to end segregation and discrimination on race. Well, in the 70s, it was becoming apparent that children, girls and women, were not getting equal opportunities in the education field to get scholarships to do, had athletic, you know, opportunities, mm-hmm. that those were all going to the boys and to the men. And so the girls and women were not able to advance the same way men were in the different professions and athletics, etc. So Congress came in and said, okay, you can't discriminate on the basis of sex. And it was very, you know, you go through the legislative history, it was very clear that the concern was to create a level playing field between men and women in the education context.
The law was pretty straightforward. I mean, that was the goal, to eliminate discrimination against females, against women and girls in the education field. That was pretty straightforward. My understanding is that this new proposal is like 700 pages long. That should simplify things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And this is a short quote from Melanie Israel of the Daily Signal. She said it has grown into a regulatory nightmare. That is the regulations or the rule mm-hmm. change that they're wanting to do. So it has grown into a regulatory nightmare, the Biden administration's proposed revision of rules carrying out the law, which affects every K through 12 school and institution of higher education that receives federal funding, is a whopping 700 pages long. They can put all sorts of stuff in 700 pages long. In fact, I think I read also that they've redefined the word pregnancy to include childbirth, lactation, and termination of pregnancy, which, of course, is abortion. And that's part of that whole rule change. Mm-hmm. We have right now, Title IX is in place, which specifically was passed to protect girls and women in a public education setting and in higher education and sports and such as that.
Yes.
So why is it that those who are proposing this change aren't called sexists or discriminators? Or because what they're doing, what they're allowing to happen right now with allowing boys who identify as girls to play sports, we see how girls and women have been eliminated from scholarship mm-hmm. possibilities. I mean, quote unquote, Leah Thomas here in Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania, we see what happened there. And that's just one example of many. But why is it that the left feels the need to redefine the three-letter word sex?
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. It's a definite ideology, and it doesn't make any sense from the standpoint. And this is an interesting aspect of this is that this has really split the feminist community
mm-hmm.
because you know the feminists are the ones who really fought hard to get Title IX.
Right.
And now if these rules go into place, basically women are all but erased because really anybody can say that they're a woman and be given all of the opportunities and all of the advantages of being a woman and not be biologically a woman. So what does that do for women in mm-hmm. trying to get these opportunities? There is an aspect of those who are feminists who are crying foul about that and saying, wait a minute, this is not what we fought for. This mm-hmm. is anti what we fought for. Mm-hmm. But then there's others who are just so tied into the ideology and, you know, and they also tie it in with sexual orientation
okay.
as well as gender identity. And so they're trying to get all of those into this so that it's just a free-for-all in terms of regulating education, in this case, or employment if it's Title VII, to just be a free-for-all. Anybody can be what they want to be. It becomes totally subjective, and so therefore it becomes just basically incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's, again, it's to get everybody so confused that the only thing they can do is turn to the state and say, help us, because we can't hide your narrative.
It's total lunacy. I mean, even the term gender assigned at birth, that is, you know, they base their whole idiocy on that phrase because they're saying that, you know, the doctor and the parents may have made a mistake when the child was born because they assigned the wrong gender at birth. I don't think that's the way of it. In almost every mm-hmm. case, we have to acknowledge that there are some intersex cases, very rare cases, that there is an issue. But by and large, you can tell if it's a little boy or you can tell if it's a little girl who has been born. And there's no question about that. But again, what you're saying is so right on because they're causing confusion. You now have men who identify as women in women's prisons who are impregnating women. We have mm-hmm. people like Leah Thomas on university sports teams who is really a male. And the university even to the step a step beyond, in my view, where they actually nominated this guy as Woman of the Year,
mm-hmm.
NCAA and Woman of the Year. He didn't win, but just the fact the University of Pennsylvania was willing to take that extra step to acknowledge him. So in the eyes of the Biden administration, the simpler version of Title IX was not working because it does not fit into their narrative of trying to push sexual orientation and gender identity onto the country. But again, specifically targeting K through 12, kindergartners mm-hmm. through 12, and then college and university. So they're targeting
right.
every age group that is involved in any institution that receives federal funds.
Right. And they are being very, and we actually just learned this too, they are being very, not surprisingly, expansive about what it means to get federal funds. Like if you say get a tax relief as a organization 501c3 or something,
mm-hmm.
they may say, well, you're getting federal funds because you're not having to pay taxes. So you have to abide by these regulations. So there's going to be that kind of things going on as well to try to just continue to hammer home their agenda.
So that's in the rule change? The proposed rule change?
That's possibility. Another possibility that's out there that there's been either cases that have said that or arguments that have been made. And so that would be even someone, a church school, say, who doesn't take any federal money, but if they get if they are exempt from paying taxes, then maybe they'll decide that they're really getting federal funds, so they have to comply.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
And I can see this administration doing that. Really, I can see almost any Democratic administration doing that.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you think most Americans are on board with this? Do most Americans understand what this rule change would do to their schools? How do you think most Americans are responding? My understanding is actually the deadline was the 12th. It had been on the Federal Register for 2 months, and allowing that mm-hmm. during that time period for public comment to be made. Over 210,594 public comments were submitted, because we don't know how those pro or con, which mm-hmm. side of the issue they're on. But what's your gut feeling about the response of parents with this proposed rule change?
Our gut response is that the vast majority of parents are against this, that this is just a bridge too far.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the experience with parents that we talk to who contact us, even parents who are on what you might call the left of center on the spectrum of the political spectrum. Maybe they support same-sex marriage or that kind of thing. This, mm-hmm. this is too far. You're dealing here with biological reality of male and female, and you're trying to just mess that up and make it irrelevant. And that's too far. Because you see that this just takes in all political persuasions and attitudes. And the overwhelming response we've gotten, we've had a page on our website and we've had conferences and things like that where we've, had a lot of parents on, and overwhelmingly people are against this change.
Yeah. And even looking at across the country, school board meetings where parents have spoken out about the, possible school policy changes, and additionally the books that have been found in school libraries that promote this kind of stuff. Yeah,
yes.
I think parents are very much opposed to this. So kind of give us a rundown of what would happen in the typical American school, public school, if this rule change takes place. How would it impact every single student? If a guy began to identify as a girl and wanted to play on the sports team, use a girl's bathroom, school would be forced to allow this to happen? Is that what would happen?
Yes. In essence, that's the case, because if they did not, then the child and or his parents and or anyone else who is of that belief system could bring a claim to the Department of Education. And if it's the current Department of Education, they'd be all over it about violating Title IX. And that involves losing the federal funding. But the other thing about Title IX is Title IX permits people to sue for violating civil rights. So any school that does not comply with this would not merely face federal funding loss, which could be a huge thing to them, but they could be sued by anybody who says that their rights have been violated as a transgender person because you wouldn't call me by my preferred name, you wouldn't use the pronouns, you wouldn't use the girl's bathroom, wouldn't let me play on the girls' team, any of those things can spark a federal lawsuit for violation of Title IX. So most school districts are not going to have to take that chance.
Right.
And so they're going to just comply with whatever is there. Because mm-hmm. It's not just, like I say, it's not just the loss of federal funds, because there are probably some school districts who would say, fine, we won't take federal money, we'll deal with state money, and we'll go on. But that won't be enough, because mm-hmm. then people could still come and sue them. And part of what they're doing in this as well is they are lowering the standard of proof for discrimination, in court.
So it's easier to sue.
Yes, it'll be easier to successfully sue. Because right now, you have to meet a pretty high standard to show that you've been discriminated against in education. It's a very high legal standard. And oftentimes, people can't meet it. But they're lowering that now. And so it's basically, if you are offended by something and they don't relieve it, then you can bring a lawsuit.
What if the parent is offended by the fact that there's a boy on her daughter's team and they're having an overnight game and that guy is sleeping in the same hotel room as the parent's daughter? The parent would be offended, but the parent has no recourse. The parent couldn't sue, right? Because of Title IX.
Well, yeah, they could, but it would likely be dismissed because they would say, well, the Title IX requires that
mm-hmm.
we do this.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is First Amendment rights. Now, they claim in there, there's all kinds of things they claim in that 700 pages, but one of the things is that, this isn't about First Amendment. Well, it is. Because if a school does not compel its teachers and students to use the wrong pronouns and the wrong name for a student, then they can be liable for violation of Title IX. The school can't.
I'm glad you brought up the pronoun thing, because the PA Department of Education has a gender identity page, and it claims mm-hmm. kids as young as 3 can identify mm-hmm. as transgender, and encourages teachers to not make assumptions about students' pronouns. And then it gives a list of, accepted pronouns that the student may be going by. But it also goes ahead and claims a concept of 2 genders, male and female, was a faulty concept. That is on a Pennsylvania taxpayer-funded website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being pushed big time in Pennsylvania, and Governor Wolf mm-hmm. is very much a part of that. And it's parents don't know or don't understand. What advice would you give parents? I know. Let me throw out first. You guys have created Navigating the Transgender Landscapes as a school resource guide. Is that still something that parents could use, even if this rule goes into effect?
Yes, they can. They can still use it. I mean, we provided information about what all this is about. Now, obviously, if Title IX regulations change, it's going to be a more difficult
mm-hmm.
situation. But the Title IX regs, even if they change, we will get challenged in court, and they may not hold up.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that would continue to be, because we have in there model policies and model things mm-hmm. for schools to do. That you can, you certainly are not going to want to, you certainly don't want to discriminate against a trans child or harm them or make them feel bad.
Exactly.
But you have to also balance the right, the rights of all mm-hmm. of the students. So mm-hmm. that's what we tried to do in here, is say, you don't have to turn the bathrooms over to the, the opposite sex, but you can set up alternatives, some single use ones that are mm-hmm. just, you go in there and lock the door and it doesn't matter. What you identify as, because you're the only one in there, that kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
Become those kinds of things available.
Yeah, yeah. And there are steps that schools can take, and I'm hoping that they aren't all going to be terrified. I'll use that word, because I think in some cases mm-hmm. they will, because of the opening of the Pandora's box when it comes to this, and the ease, you're saying they're making it easier. If this rule change
uh-huh.
goes into effect,
yeah.
they're making it easier for civil rights lawsuits to be brought against them. Yeah, scary stuff. So what would you advise parents to do if they have a child in public education?
Well, obviously, be very vigilant about knowing exactly what your school policies are. And many times, we're finding this out a lot now, that many times they don't publish them, obviously. And they don't even go through the school board officially, but they'll have them either unwritten or written up as informal guidance or something like that. So it may take some, FOIA requests or, public records requests
mm-hmm.
to your school district. If you initially go to the superintendent and say, we want to know what the policy is, then you can do the public records request. And of course, they have to abide by those. go to school board meetings, obviously, make your voice be heard. Run for school board. I mean, several school boards in Florida flipped with last election.
Yeah, I think five did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was
including Miami, of all places.
Whoa.
So the parents, you know, get involved, be at the school board meetings, ask the school board. The school board is the one that's most accountable to parents because they're the ones who are voted mm-hmm. in and out.
Right.
So the parents should show up and do the public record at the public, you know, usually the public comment period
mm-hmm.
to say, we want to know, you tell us what you do in these situations when you have kids who say they're trans. Mm-hmm. What is your policy? And make them, you know, make them be accountable to that.
Yeah. Because it's our taxpayers that are funding the schools.
I mean,
here in Pennsylvania, school board members are not paid. The school board members are not paid. But yet we pay for the teachers, the administrators, the building, the heating, the electricity, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. That's our taxpayer dollars paying that.
Right.
Yeah. Parents definitely need to be involved, and they definitely need to know what's going on in their child's school. And my advice mm-hmm. personally is pull your kids out if at all possible. Pull your kids out of public school for sure. How can folks contact you guys? Oh, and I want to throw this out too. We do have, AFAPA does have copies of the Navigating the Transgender Landscape School Resource Guide. You can contact us if you want a copy of it, and we'll send you one. And I know you guys have it also available, obviously, on your website. So how can folks contact you?
Well, our website is childparentrights.org, and there's resource guide that's available there. In fact, you can get a digital
mm-hmm.
copy free, or you can order boxes of them if you want to, you know, like, pass them around to school district or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a contact page. If a parent wants to contact us, an issue they have, they can write it out there or leave a voicemail message. And then our staff will contact them. And then we also try to keep up to date on the news and some of the cases that we're working on. So that's really the best way, is just the website.
Okay. Yeah. Never a dull day if you keep trying to keep up with the news. Because the news is full of all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
Hey, thanks so much, Mary, for helping explain this whole Title IX thing and the danger of the rule change if it does, in fact, take place. I'm not holding my breath that it won't happen, but we can pray that it doesn't. Thanks for the information, and I really appreciate it. So I encourage our listeners to go to childparentrights.org to get more information and contact them if you're having an issue in your school. So thanks again. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323. Or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.